1 and then also James chapter number 5. And you said, I thought we were going to start a series of messages on Job. We are. Job is mentioned in James chapter number 5. So let's stand tonight in honor of God's Word. Let's begin in James chapter number 1. I think most people, when they hear the word Job, there's also another word that is associated with Job, and that is the word patience. And then you'll hear people say, he has the patience of Job, but they say about me, he does not have the patience of Job. And so Job teaches us a lot of things about patience, and here's what the Bible says. Well, I am going to read chapter 5 first. James chapter 5 and verse number 10, here's what James says. He says, take my brethren the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. You know, I think that when we read these verses, we can say that God knows what He's doing, even maybe if we don't know what God is doing. And so you have to wait to see the whole picture because God sees the whole picture. Now notice in the James chapter 1, after reading those couple of verses, notice what James says in chapter 1. Of course, James is dealing with people who are in turmoil, who are in adversity, a great adversity for the cause of Christ. So here's what he says when he begins the writing of James. He says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh what? So the Bible in James begins this about in our tribulations, and I'm going to use the word adversity. I'm going to use the word adversity because that's what he's talking about here. Trials, temptations, things that come into our life. He uses Job and the prophets as an example who endured with patience. And then he says that the trying of our faith worketh patience. Then he says in verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now this is probably the strangest title I've ever given to a message in this sense, because it don't make sense, but yet there's a lot of things that don't make sense in the world's eyes, but they do in God's eyes. Right. And here's what God is telling us through Job. We will get to Job in several weeks. But I want to preach on this subject tonight, embracing adversity. Embracing adversity. And so, that's difficult. We preach a lot of difficult messages, don't we? There's a lot of difficult things in the Bible. Because as Americans, we take the path of least resistance as much as we possibly can. But it doesn't matter whether we try to take the path of least resistance. The truth is we all have to deal with adversity in one way or another. Some seem to be more overwhelming than others, but there's still adversity. Do you understand in adversity, God is trying to teach us something? So let's preach this message tonight on embracing adversity as read in the book of James. Lord, help us tonight as we begin our study in the life of Job. And Lord, I don't know anybody that's gone through what Job did, but yet in the Word of God tonight we read that the end result of Job was that the mercy of God was real. And Lord, we have adversity tonight. Every person in this room has either gone through some kind of trial or tribulation or is in one right now. or has just come through one or will go through one. Lord, it's a part of who we are. It's a part of life, living in a sin-cursed world. And Lord, sometimes we may know what the adversity is about, but there are times that we don't know what the adversity that we're going through is all about, except that you tell us that we are to, that it's to work our patience, that we're to count it all joy, that we're to, really what James says is we need to embrace the adversity because it is maturing us as God's people. And so I pray, Lord, that you would be with us through the life of Job and through the series of messages we'll preach. And I pray for this message tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The patience of Job is used when somebody sees another person who may endure something, or maybe we could put it like this. We say that about someone when they show the virtue of patience, when they show the quality of patience. Job, listen, think about this. Job did not just wake up one day, lose everything that he had, and discover he had this limitless source of patience to draw from. That's not the way life works. And think about Job. He literally, in one day, lost everything. He lost his entire family outside of his wife, who encouraged him to curse God. He lost his financial wealth. He lost his health. He was sitting in sackcloth and ashes with boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And Job didn't have any idea that there had been a conversation between the devil and God Almighty about this man named Job. He had no idea what was going on. And so Job didn't just have this great resource of patience that he had always built up that he might pull from that. In fact, God had to lead Job step by step through a time of patience and a time of teaching him lessons that would actually grow his faith and then have Job be able to stand in a firm way in the face of adversity. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs that in the day of adversity, our faith becomes small if we're not able to go through that adversity and go through that turmoil or to go through that trial or whatever it might be. But here's something that James begins to tell us in the New Testament. He tells us about the patience of Job in verse number 5. He says that you've heard about Job. You've heard about the patience of Job. And we count them happy which are able to endure. And then after James says that, he uses Job as the example. And he said, you've seen the end. You know the beginning of Job. You know how the Bible opens up on Job. And then you've seen the end of Job. And you see all that God did and how pitiful he was toward Job and how God's mercy was upon him. And listen, God is a merciful God. And by the way, we don't have to, God doesn't owe us an answer on what we go through. God doesn't owe us anything. We owe Him everything. We don't see the big picture. God sees the big picture. We don't necessarily understand what God is trying to do, except that He is trying to mold us and make us and mature us. That's what He wants to do. And I want you to understand James, though. James turns it around on us and says that we're to count it all joy when we fall into adversity. I'm going to use that term because he uses the word temptations, which is the word that we get from trials. And trials is a word that has the idea of adversity. Adversity kind of encompasses all the tribulation and the trials and the temptations that we go through. Now, here's what he says. The trial of your faith worketh patience. Do you believe God or do you not believe God? Is God good all the time or only when things are good? The answer is God is good all the time. Even when we don't understand why we're going through this and are overwhelmed by it, and it seems like that we might even be drowning in it, God says, where is your faith? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. God wants us to believe Him. And we must believe Him. And we must understand that God is in control and God knows what He's doing. Woo! Even when we don't, even when I'm overwhelmed by my situation or by my adversity. When your faith gets tested, here's what God says. Why don't you just go ahead and rejoice in that? Now, when I see that, I see that God is telling me you need to embrace the trial that you're going through. Now, that's hard. But no harder than other things that God tells us to do. I just don't wake up in adversity and say, glory, hallelujah, but yet I should. Because I believe God. I believe God knows what He's doing. This may not sound inviting, but when we go through difficult times, our faith can be tested. But as we endure the testing, as we endure the adversity, guess what? We begin to learn patience. We begin to learn this virtue of being patient, and the more faith you have in God, the more patient you can be, and the more patient you can be, the more you can believe in God, and the more you believe in God, the more that your faith can help you to mature. Listen, God knows what He's doing. In 1 Peter chapter 1, our faith, the Bible talks about our faith being more valuable than gold, tried by fire. Which, by the way, still results in a heaviness. And our faith will be tested in a variety of ways. There's many ways that our faith can be tested. It's not just one. In fact, James says divers temptations, different ways that temptation can come. And you know, our faith will be tested in various ways as we go through life. The test sometimes... Can't listen, by the way, when he says, talks about temptations and we talks about trials and we talk about adversity, think about this. Testing is almost synonymous with a temptation because here's what's going on. Satan wants to tempt you to doubt God when you're in a difficult situation. I mean, God is, the devil is pressing you and saying, God doesn't care. See what's going on? Where's God now? And that's exactly when we're being tested and we're being tried and we're being overwhelmed. Satan is tempting you to doubt God, just like in the Garden of Eden when he said to Eve, yea, if God said, God's holding out on you. God's not really as good as you think He is. Even though He's given you these commandments, He knows in the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge and good of evil, you're going to be like God. He's been a liar from the beginning. You think God's lying when we're going through a test? You think God doesn't know what's going on when we're overwhelmed with our situation? Of course He does. He's God. And here's the question. Are we going to trust Him? Where's our faith going to be when we're going through that temptation, that testing, that adversity? It's something we fall into. We're not talking about falling into sin. We're talking about trials and testings and temptations. Listen, that come as a result of following God. Listen, follow God no matter what. Amen. So the word adversity is the word of difficulty. The word adversity has the idea of suffering. Adversity has the idea of trials. That's why that's the word that I use, because it kind of encompasses anything to do with a difficulty. And you know what James is saying? Listen to this. James is literally saying and using Job in chapter 5 as the example. And here's what he says. Rejoice in adversity. Boy, everybody's excited now, aren't they? Boy, I can't wait to get in my next adversity so I can rejoice in the Lord. The way he says to do that is by knowing something. Here's what you have to know. Specifically knowing that the adversity that you are going through is able to work patience inside of your life. Well, preacher, what is so great about patience? Well, patience, I'll just give me a few minutes. It's hard, but James says, be glad and rejoice when you face adversity because it is producing this patience in your life. What's so great about patience that should cause me to happily to endure adversity in order to get it? Well, let me just say this. Patience, why is patience worth suffering for? Because the Bible says it'll mature you. It will make you a grown person instead of a baby person. And there is nothing worse than little kids laying around and jumping up and down and spitting and screaming and trying to get their way. That's exactly what God's people do when they're in an adverse situation and they all of a sudden become overwhelmed and don't believe God and they blame God or they say, look what God has done. You're acting like a little kid at Walmart. And there's no maturity there whatsoever. God needs mature Christians. God needs grown-ups. God needs you to trust Him to say, hey son, I know what I'm doing. And I'm working patience in your life so that you can become a mature Christian. You know, the word patient means hopeful endurance, the ability to persevere. That's what patience is. And when you get to the place where you don't think you can get out of bed, get out of bed. And put one foot before another foot and praise God and serve Him all the days of your life, because that is the endurance and the ability to persevere in the light of our difficult situation. God doesn't want anybody laying around not trusting Him. Amen. Patience will make you perfect, is what the Bible says. Now, the word perfect means mature. It means strengthened. I love the old saints of God who have been through so many things, but yet they're still saying towards the end of their life, God is good. And God knows exactly what He's doing. Patience will make you entire. That's what the Bible says. That means, you know what the word entire means? It means complete in every part. It means perfectly sound. You see, you will see people throughout your Christian life that everything is good. They're on top of the mountain until this adverse situation comes into their life. And it can be many things. It can be their health. It can be their job difficulty. It can be the demands of a job. It can mean marital struggles. It can mean spiritual struggles. It can mean relationship struggles. It can mean financial troubles. And everything is good until this adverse situation comes in their life. And all of a sudden, the whole world's falling apart. No, it's not. God's not falling apart. Amen. God's not sitting in heaven wringing His hands going, oh, I don't know what's going to happen now. No, He's looking for well-rounded, stable Christians who are sound in every part, who are mature, and they're fully grown. Like Brother Boonstra, who says God is good all the time. You know what patience will do? It will cause you to lack nothing. Wanting nothing. I'm not missing anything. You know, we are a frail human being. There's no doubt about that. But God knows what He's doing. And I have to be able to trust that. And so do you. In all, patience means have. And if we could just summarize it, patience means having strength and stability to endure. Strength and stability to endure. What's the benefit of strength and stability? Well, here's two things that the Bible uses in talking about life. One is a race, and the other is a fight. Now, I don't know if you've ever wrestled or not, but I'm going to tell you, that is one of the most grueling sports on the face of the earth. And it's like a boxing match, you know, if you've ever done that, 2 minutes in the ring with somebody, they're trying to beat your brains out and you're trying to beat their brains out. But wrestling is the same way. I mean, it just sucks the strength right out of you. And the other thing is a race. And I've done a half marathon. I've never marathon on myself. You think you're going to die. Sometimes in life, you think you're going to die. Sometimes in life, you think, I'm not going to make it through this. And then you do, and what does it give you? Strength and stability. Challenging times, listen to this, challenging times are unavoidable. Without patience, adversity makes life miserable. Without patience, and when I say patience, without endurance and strength and stability, the adversities of life, you will be miserable. Patience means this: no matter what comes my way, I can still have joy. I can still be strong, I can still be effective, and I can still be okay. Because I know God's doing it. or God's allowing it. Immaturity and instability means I'm only as good as my present circumstances are at the moment. Is everybody getting this? When a storm blows in, I'm in trouble. Because once the storm blows in, people become depressed, they become scared, they become frustrated, and they become angry. That's immaturity. That's not trusting God. Suppose a man wanted to sell you a roof that was perfect as long as it doesn't rain. Rainy days are unavoidable. Strength and stability comes from adversity. You're never going to be strong. You're never going to be stable. And you're never going to be mature unless you go through adversity. The trial of faith, adversity, works patience, which produces strength and stability. Strength and stability you need and want to make it through adversity is built by adversity. Colossians, the book of Colossians, strength and stability spoken about as a reliance of Christ. Listen, my friend, Christ is the energy, adversity is the exercise. We believe God, right? He will see us through. Did He see Job through? See, the problem is if we started the book of Job and didn't know the end, it would be much more difficult. But we do know the end. When you read that first chapter of Job, when we get over there and we start telling that story of Job, and there he is, he's out, he's making sacrifice for his children, he's praying for his children, he's praying, maybe they've done something and I want to pray for them. And the next thing you know, he's wiped out. He is totally wiped out. And his wife finally comes to him and says, Job, you've lost everything. Curse God and die. And he said, woman, be quiet. Don't say that. God is good all the time. Basically, that's what Job said. And you know, when you've been a pastor for 34 years, there's burdens, there's heaviness. You take up on what people are going through. And then you add to what you're going through. How are you going to be strong? How are you going to be mature? How are you going to be the leader of God's people if you don't trust God? What good is it? I hate getting those phone calls at 1:30 in the morning with an adversity that is overwhelming or something's going on. But you know what? You have to trust God. What else are we going to do? What else are we going to do? We have to be able to trust God. You see, it's very simple, this first message that if we're immature and we're not stable, and then because there the rain is going to come. Everybody understand? There's going to be a storm to come. Tornadoes coming. But if we are not, if we only trust God when our circumstances is good, then we're not going to be able to trust God in the hard times. And the hard times are coming. When life is perfect, I'm okay. No, listen. And again, you can see this in people. They get scared and frustrated and angry and depressed because their adversity. Nobody likes adversity. But yet God says what we need to do is thank God for it and joy in it because God's doing something. What is He doing? He's teaching me patience. What is patience? Patience is the ability and the stability to endure knowing God is in control. Now, I hate to say it. I don't want to say it flippantly at all. But what's the worst thing that can happen to us? We die. Actually, that's the best thing that can happen to us. But it's we just like hanging on to this old world. Now, you know what Job's going to do in these lessons that we learn or these messages we're going to preach? Job's going to teach us patience is a prize worth suffering for. And then we must choose to submit ourselves to God and we must endure the trial He's allowed to come into our life. Listen, you can either embrace adversity or you can rebel against adversity. And that's the natural tendency of the flesh. I don't want this. I didn't ask for this. None of us do. None of us do. And that's the purpose of Job, to teach us that God knows what He's doing even when we don't know what He's doing. You know, I've always said, I hope God doesn't get into a conversation with the devil about me. Probably not, because I'm not that good a Christian. Job was. Embracing adversity is the... You got to get this, because this is what you need to write down somewhere on a piece of paper. Embracing adversity is the only way to develop strength and stability in your life. It's the only way. It's what James says. Let your patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Brethren, count it all joy. Now think about these people in the life of James. He says to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Why were they scattered abroad? Because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Their adversity was things like this. They lost their home. They lost their job. They lost their health. Kind of like Job. They lost everything because they're a Christian. Now folks, listen to me. The day may come in our country before Jesus Christ comes back again. The day may come when we have to choose between Christianity and, we know in the tribulation period there'll be many people that'll die just because they're Christians. And they won't take the mark of the beast. Well, you know, as we come closer to the coming of the Lord, we see more things in the tribulation. We see more things in shadow form that'll be in full-fledged form in the tribulation. We see some of that stuff right now. Like, for instance, somebody says, well, I own this business. This business is mine. I can do with this business what I want. And I'm not going to make a cake for somebody that has a lifestyle that's directly opposed to the Word of God. So they're the ones persecuted. They're persecuted, or there's adversity comes upon them just because they take a stand for what they believe. That's not going to get any better. That's not going to get any better. And so I'm just saying, embracing adversity is the only way to develop strength and stability to become stronger. Patience is worth suffering for because it makes us strong. It makes us stable. I say it like this. If the Word of God said something 25 years ago, then what the Word of God says today is still the same. Amen. It's not changed. God's Word hasn't changed. Now let me ask you this. Do you wish you were stronger and more stable? Do you? Are you frustrated by the sense of weakness in the face of adversity? Then here's what you have to do. You have to embrace adversity. In fact, you have to embrace it. That's what we're told to do. Count it all joy. So instead of loathing it and running from it, dreading it, and here's one, complaining about it, learn to look in the spiritual mirror and see your spiritual muscles growing stronger every day as you embrace the adversity that God's put in your life. It's like the unknown. We don't know what's around the corner. We have no idea. There's no way to know that. But James is so practical in this. He tells us at least three things to do in what we read. The first thing he says, embrace it. Embrace adversity. Count it all joy. Rejoice. He's promised to work all things for my good. God said He would do that. Therefore, I'm going to thank Him for the good that He's doing of my life through my adversity. Lord, I may not understand everything You're trying to teach me at this moment, but Lord, I trust You. God, You are good, even in this adversity. Start thanking God that He cares enough about you to strengthen you and to stabilize you and to make you stronger. Knowing that it's building patience in you, it's working strength, it's working stability. Here's what it's doing. It's purging the weakness out of your life. And you know what people do when adversity comes? They just run away from church. They just run away from Christianity. They go lay down in the bed and pull the covers over and think this is going to pass away. No. No, it's not going to pass away. We've got to get out of the bed and endure the adversity and then thank God that He's working in our life to make us strong and stable and a strong Christian. When you see somebody go through a major adverse situation and they come out on the other side like Job, you know what Job said? Well, I can trust God in anything. And he could trust God in, through anything. And so we need to know that it's building patience in us as we embrace the trial and the adversity. And then here, listen to this. Listen, surrender to the will of God. Surrender to the will of God. Let patience have her perfect work in you. If you always fight God, complain, try to do your hardest to escape out of every ounce of pain and inconvenience, and you avoid at all costs the trying of your faith, you will still experience difficulties. Did you hear me? Everybody's going to go through difficulties. Everybody's going to go through trials. But the problem is if you don't embrace them, you won't develop the strength and stability that you need to get through the next one. Oh, you mean there's going to be another one? Yeah. And there's always going to be till we die. You and I need to wake up each day when we're in this trial and resubmit ourselves to God by saying, Father, Your will be done. Is Jesus Christ not the greatest example of last night as He was in the Garden of Gethsemane and He knew what was before Him? There's never been a greater adversity than that. Amen. But yet our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, Lord, not My will be done, but Thy will be done. I think this principle goes for you and I tonight. That we submit ourselves to God and say, Lord, Thy will be done. Boy, embracing adversity, that's a hard thing to do. But we're going to have to do it if we're going to be strong in the Lord. Become stable. Patience. Let patience have her perfect work. Let patience endure. Let patience mature us to the place where we go, I can trust God. I've trusted God through other tribulations. I can trust God through this one. Lord, I love You. God, You're good no matter what. And I trust You in all adversity in my life. May Your will be done. Let's stand tonight, every head bowed, every eye closed. The patience of Job, what a man of faith. And remember, Job had to learn patience through his trial, just like you and I do, as we embrace the adversity that God puts in our life. Do you believe God is good? Oh, yes. Is God good to you just when things are going good? No, God is good all the time, no matter what. Father, I love You tonight. Thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for Your truths that are contained. As we begin to look at the life of Job and this man and what he went through and the patience that he endured to the very end, and Lord, You saw him through that. And there's people in this room tonight and people that we know that are on our prayer list that are going through adversity. They're going through trials and tribulations. And Lord, the flesh does not like to embrace our adversity. We try to get out of it any way we can. But I pray that we might become stable and mature and strengthened in our faith to You, Lord, as we go through the trials of life. God, help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing page 258, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Can you say, Lord, thank You for the trial, for the tribulation, for the adversity? Hey, listen, if you can, God's working patience in your life. And that patience is going to work a maturity, an endurance, a stability. That you can be the Christian to help other people when they go through their trials. Do you complain? Do you murmur? Do you bicker? Do you blame God when the adversity comes? Hey, we're all...